Good morning. First case of the morning will be Lasley versus Welborn. Mr. Chapman.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. This is an appeal that essentially is an ex parte dismissal of a prisoner's civil rights suit. The court has limited the appeal to the review of an order denying the plaintiff's motion for reconsideration. It was filed untimely under 59E. Judge Foreman in the district court in the Southern District treated it as a motion, as a Rule 60 motion, and after certain preliminary reviews by this court, that order is the only order now before the court is denying what is a Rule 60B motion. The prisoner at that time, Willie Lasley, was incarcerated 24/7 at TAM Supermax prison. He filed his civil rights case. It was filed in May of 2003. Judge Foreman, as we know, on December 9th, over 18 months later, acting under Rule or Section 1915A, made an ex parte ruling that the cause was frivolous and dismissed it. In the meantime, shortly after the case was filed and docketed, the plaintiff from prison filed a form requesting that the clerk direct the marshal to serve summons. That never happened. In August of 2004, well over a year after the case had been filed and the prisoner had heard nothing, he filed a simple one-page motion for mandamus asking that service be made upon the defendants. I don't know if that precipitated Judge Foreman to take action, but anyway, he never ruled on that, and I came into the case after the court had this court had entered its June 2004-6 five orders limiting the appeal. The motion for reconsideration, which is construed as a Rule 60B motion, really attacks only the conclusions of Judge Foreman in his memorandum order that he did state a cause of action, etc. I, in my brief, as Your Honors know, have raised the question of whether the judge's order was void. And if it is a void order, I believe the law is that it can be attacked at any time, in any court, in any way. A void order is a void order. And that, as Your Honors know, a rule or Section 1915A says the judge is to act under that section before the case is docketed or as soon as practical thereafter. It does not give a consequence for the court failing to act within that time. But is my position that this section is really contrary to all processes that we know in normal law where a case is filed, summons is served, the other party appears. If a motion to dismiss is filed, really very wide latitude is given to plaintiff to amend. And so that, in my opinion, and I submit the judge's authority under 1915A should be construed very narrowly because it is so contrary to the normal processes of the law. In thinking about this last night, I say, okay, where is the cutoff? What is as soon as practical? Judge Foreman gave no reason for having waited over 18 months to act under 1915A. He acted on the case very early, having it docketed and assigned to a track several months later. He did rule that the prisoner could proceed in form or pauperis. But I don't think there could be any quarrel that waiting 18 months is contrary to the very purpose of the statute. And that at that point, and we have cited cases.
He was out of prison when he filed it.
Pardon?
He was out of prison when he filed it, wasn't he?
No.
He still there?
He didn't leave prison, Your Honor, until August 26th. He's here in the courtroom today. He was released after 7 years at TAMS. He'd served 23 years in all and finished his last 90 days at Menard, as you know, a maximum security prison down in Chester. So he was in prison really until the day he filed his brief in this court, which was like August 26th of last year. The clerk rejected it because it was out of form. He contacted me. I'd known him in prison. And then I asked the court for leave to extend the time and to file my appearance. And that's what I did. So he was in prison, I think, throughout all of the operative facts in this case. And I could find no law on the issue of the limitations, if any, on 1915A authority. I think the cases are clear that 60B, and particularly 60B4, void orders, do extend beyond a lack of subject matter jurisdiction or lack of jurisdiction of the parties. It can reach the situation where a judge, in entering his order or her order, exceeds the statutory authority, and that can constitute a void order. From what I can tell, this is a... I don't know if that's just stuck on there, but anyway...
No, it's supposed to be stuck there.
Okay, well, I'll stop quickly. When
a red one goes on, you're dead.
Okay. I've died a million deaths in this courtroom.
You have time, use it. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that I think the court should take a stance on this. I don't want to be critical of the Southern District or Judge Foreman, but prisoners' cases have a way of being forgotten. And, I mean, his complaint certainly was bare bones, that it was subject to dismissal, but it were certainly basic causes of action dealing with medical care, access to the law, destruction of property. It could easily have been amended, and in his supporting papers for reconsideration, he did fill it out. We are dealing with men a supermax prison. I know Your Honors are familiar with it. You just don't have access to anything. You may get out of your cell to go to a little pod library, but he could have fixed it up if he had been given a chance. And I think this aspect of the Prison Litigation Reform Act and other limitations on prisoners' litigation should be narrowly construed. We're asking the court to say this is a void order. Let the case go back to the Southern District. Let service be had. He did everything he could to get this case moving. The court did nothing to get the case moving. And for that reason, we're asking for that relief. If their court has any questions, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Since you're the only one,
yes,
we'll take the case under advisement. Move the second case of the morning, United States versus Lemuel Tyra.